if you're out to get your job at all costs, then you know there will be a cost at some point to you and the people around you.
Hey everyone, I'm Katie Traxton and you are listening to Anatomy of an Agency, the podcast all about the world of talent that explains exactly how it works behind the scenes. Welcome to part two of our special Anatomy of an Agency birthday episode. Let's get right back into it with Taskmaster Series Director Andy Devonshire and Taskmaster Series Producer Andy Cartwright. Do you have any advice to help people relax and let loose? Obviously, you're lucky, you work with a lot of comedians, they're used to live audiences, they're often used to writing their own material, but a lot of people in other sectors, even if they start off with quite a big personality, are told during the course of their career, no, this is how you speak to the press, this is how you conduct yourself, these are the messages you share, button yourself down, present yourself professionally, that will bring opportunities. We're often then telling them when it comes to television, no, go backwards, go back to the you are with your friends and family. Do you have any tips for people to try and understand what you're looking for in that audition process?
I mean, it's if we're talking specifically about Taskmaster, it's about trust. You know, you have to trust that...
We're desperate for them to be themselves. but a lot of things you can see, yeah.
Well, it's difficult because earlier series was, it was not quite as clear to them what they were getting into. And, you know, this is a very specific thing for Taskmaster, but I think it works for other shows. I think you have to know what you're getting into and you have to trust why you're getting into it and how you're going to be treated. Mm-hmm. Because, this has never been a prank show where we're setting people up to look stupid and fail. If you get, you know, if you're signing up to a prank show where you're going to be set up to look stupid and fail, you need to know that you're going into that and react accordingly. You know, I think some things are more vicious or more sort of hard to get into. I think if you're fully invested in the show you're going into, whether you're going to get stitched up or, you know, I mean, stitched up in a good sense and in a bad sense, I think if you're going into a show where you don't know what the outcome is going to be and how you're going to be made to look, then you have to be careful about how you present yourself. But I think the fundamental thing about telly and life is just to be you and to trust and to be, you know, be yourself and don't do anything that you're just doing because you think someone wants you to do it. Yes. I think if you're playing along to be something on that you're not on telly, then it won't necessarily work out right for you.
I think when we have comedy actors on board, they come from a place where the first thing they say is how do you want me to play it, and or have you got any notes, and they're always asking, and you try and say right from the start, just be yourself, and you know, you just react, and you just want to you to go and do this thing. But they're always looking for it. Eventually at some point they'll let themselves go.
It's an unusual job. Commission,
yeah,
because we want them to be themselves and we want them to be unfiltered, and we want them to trust that we're not actually making them look stupid. You know, I mean, obviously sometimes they look stupid, but it's all within a supportive and constructive kind of framework. Mm-hmm. And I think that's quite different to lots of other telly.
Yeah, we're nearly there, don't worry. So how can people get themselves noticed? Where are you or other people you work with looking? Is it a question of, because we often say, you can have the best product in the entire world, but if nobody knows about it, it's as good as not having any product at all. Are you going to specific places like the Edinburgh Fringe? Are you on social media scrolling through things people are doing? Do they need to have been on other shows that you specifically look to for talent?
I mean, I don't think it's rocket science. I think the more visible you are, the more easier it is to start a conversation. And so if you're endlessly posting pictures of your breakfast on TikTok in a funny way, that might get you noticed or might just get you ignored. I mean, I think role and presence and visibility are all important things, but also to be doing something that is good. Just being on telly isn't going to help. I mean, it's even specifically for Taskmaster or for wider things, you know, having a name that someone goes, oh, I've heard of them, it makes a difference. Simple as that. And if, you know, you need pointers, so you say, right, this Olympic star did this and did this there. You know, it's all kind of a checklist, I guess, about visibility and profile and not being a plum. That's probably quite a good thing.
It's a bit of everything, isn't it? If somebody's got a brilliant, if somebody's hot and doing really well, even though I'm not on social media, somebody will very quickly send me a clip and say, watch this. But equally, got lots of agents sending us videos and inviting us to things, and we're always watching TV. We're always looking for, yeah, just I think mainly word of mouth from comedians. Once we get to know comedians and all the ones that we've had on Taskmaster, somebody will say, you've got to see this person, and that will be the start of us like getting stuck in our head.
And just seeing as much as you can. I think, yeah. You know, it's a very weird, Taskmaster is a very weird casting process in that way. But, you know, I think visibility is important and being good. I think it's probably quite a good tip. Just be good, you know, be good and be you and be, I mean, I think this stands a more general point. Just be good. And as I said, don't get knocked back. You know, ask the questions, put yourself out there and show your skill, I think. Because if someone, it's like when someone comes and says, oh, I want to work in telly. And it's like, well, where do you want to work in telly? Oh, behind the camera. What do you mean behind the camera? You know, you have general questions. If you just want to be on telly, and this that stands for not just Taskmaster, then just being on telly isn't enough. There's too much telly and there's too many specific things. You need to answer the questions that the person casting or the person looking for someone is asking. So, you know, they're coming in and you know that they've got roles to fill. If you say, I want to be if they want, they're casting for this presenter, then you know, presenter for a jogging show, then show your jogging skills, show your, you know, be smart, answer their questions, help them do the job, you know, and also don't feel bad when they say no, because, you know, a lot of them will.
Well, it's funny that you should mention people working behind the camera, because the last thing I just wanted to touch on is, obviously, yes, this podcast is for talent. It's about people who want to be on camera. It's about people who've got all the razzle-dazzle and they want to be doing the entertaining. But also, there's a lot of people who work in the world of entertainment where there is crossover. If you do get that no, you still want to be getting experience on the other side of the camera, in television, understanding how it works. So we do talk a little bit about that as well. Would you both be prepared to give us just a bit of insight into how you made it into the industry and find yourself sitting on this sofa today?
Go on. I'll do you. You do me.
I have no idea how I got in or you got in.
Well, I did a class. I finished university and applied for either journalism or TV jobs. And first job I got was a post-production runner. Didn't really like it, and so moved into production running and got a really lucky job as the entertainment department runner at ITV, which meant I was kind of looking after all the productions there, and so I was doing Parkinson and Anton Deck and Brainiac and lots of different shows they were making. It meant that I got to know all of the different teams and meet lots of people, and also work with the controller of entertainment and the head of production. And they really looked after that. It was kind of a job that was always going to last no more than a year, but within it, they sent me on compliance courses and camera courses and kind of really helped develop me. And then from that, kind of went on to a junior researcher job within that department, but became freelance. And from then, just... well, TV's a bit different now, but then I kind of worked 6 week to 4 month jobs and kept hopping up and did lots of different shows, mainly doing kind of science and or entertainment. But what I always wanted to do was comedy. So I was in a comedy troupe in my spare time. And then just started to only apply for comedy jobs and turned down jobs that weren't comedy. And eventually at Avalon, I did a really bad interview and felt like I'd really let myself down. because I really wanted the job. So I went home and made a video of how I should have done the interview, and I sent it in and I got the job. And that little bit of extra effort meant from then on I kind of stayed in comedy. And because of that job, that's how I got invited back to interview for Taskmaster many years later. And so, yeah, I just did some directing jobs, some producing jobs, and then I've been doing Taskmaster for 10 years.
Is that video still available online, Andy?
I don't know where that video is, but it shouldn't be, it shouldn't be seen by people.
That should definitely get online. And also, you played keyboards?
Yeah.
That's what got you the job, Taskmaster. That's what got
me the job, yeah.
Keyboards on this morning, was it?
I did play keyboards on this morning. That sounds really weird. That sounds like I was there doing the theme tune every day. Yeah, so it's kind of a sort of standard route of runner, junior researcher, researcher, assistant producer, producer director, etc. And I always tried to write on every show I could. So I'd beg with the producers or directors and ask me to. I did lots of comedy sketches and things, and asked if I could write some, and just forced my stuff on people, and until it was noticed. And then I was very lucky to, even when I was assistant producer, I wrote whole studio scripts for a children's TV show called Blast Lab, which had some comedy writers on it who let me write whole scripts, and they told me how to make them better. And so I learned quite a lot from them, the Dawson brothers, who are very good. And that's it, yeah. Been here for 10 years.
It feels remiss to move on until we've explained to people why you were playing keyboards on this morning.
Thanks. I went to uni with a guy who was in a band, with two guys that was in a band called the Hoosiers. And
I remember the Hoosiers.
The Hoosiers, they were fun. And God, one day the keyboard player, they were going to be playing on GMTV, and the keyboard player was at a wedding, and they asked if I'd like to come along and mime, and I can't play the keyboard. And so I sat there and plonked around on some keyboard.
It's on YouTube.
And they didn't tell me that it's on YouTube, and they didn't tell me that there was a keyboard break during it. And so I had to pretend to play this keyboard break. It was very, it's not worth checking out. I don't know what. I don't like you on your phone.
I'm sure someone sent it me. No.
Andy's story starts in Norwich.
In Norwich, I did a drama and English degree at UEA in Norwich, and then I left and was writing and making short films, and then basically got commissions to make short films. One of which was on telly, and then off the back of that, I was camera assisting and just doing jobs to get in telly, and then I got a researcher job or an AP job on an entertainment show, and then carried on making documentaries and short films, and then just worked my way up. I mean, you know, the strange thing, because we've been doing Taskmaster for a chunk of time,
we can't remember.
Well, no, but it's the life of a freelancer is random and varied, and I do 20, 30 jobs a year, some, you know, a couple of days, some couple of weeks, whatever, just doing, because I really like making things, and I really like particularly new formats, things like that. So yeah, if someone tells me an idea, I'd always want to make it. And so quite early on, I'd sort of, someone would come and say, I've got a week's work development or whatever, and I'd say, I'll give you 3 weeks, but, you know, a day here, a day there, or whatever, and then combine that with other jobs just to get a massive amount of experience in loads of different places. I think that's the key to it, to find a way of getting into different places and just seeing. Because even camera assisting, I'd be lugging a camera around a field in Norfolk and with, you know, very well-respected BBC directors and producers, and just go, actually, hang on, it's not rocket science. You know, it's actually straightforward. You know, you get a good relationship, you know, going with your team, and that's how you make a show. And so you think, oh, it's not this magic gift that someone's given from God that comes down and does something. It's, you know, you see how something works, and so therefore you give it a go, and you don't always get it right, you don't always make it great, but you just persevere and move on to the next job. So yeah, I had a variety of different jobs in random places always directing. I always want to make things look right. That's what I do. And then, you know, I did Apprentice, first 8 series of Apprentice, and then Bake Off. They were my bigger jobs, first 7 series of that. And then
Screen Wipe.
I've always wanted to do comedy. Made some more short films, made some random things. But yeah, I'd say luck and timing got us around this. I made a film with Alex. That's how I got into Taskmaster. Because I'd made a film going across the States with Dave Gorman, which is like a one-off thing for Channel 4. And so Avalon said, come in and meet Alex. Because he's got an idea for a film for BBC 4, which was about forgotten games and sports. So it started off being called Cricket on Horseback and Other Forgotten Sports. It was too long for the EPK, so it'd be called The Games That Time Forgot. So it's a low budget thing. It's me and him just messing around in the car, driving around the country, looking at forgotten sports, and culminating in a game of cricket on horseback, which was chaotic. And then Taskmaster was milling around because he was doing that at the time when we did the film. And so,
was that his second Edinburgh?
And then they just asked me to come in and pitch it with him, and no one wanted it. No one wanted the show for ages. I look back recently on this sort of series of notes saying, can you come back in for another pitch? And I'm like, you know, doing a load of other jobs and thinking, where's this going? And then here we are. And someone, you know, Dave trusted in the idea, and then here we are 10 years later.
My last question then. We are kind of in the business of helping people achieve impossible dreams when it comes to their careers, because what it is they want to do in sport or entertainment, it's the 0.00001, that's not an actual statistic, percent who get to do those things. But actually, you guys also kind of fall into that bracket if you think about the kids out there who are dreaming their dreams of what their life could be. What do you think is the most important character trait you have personally displayed en route that has enabled you to achieve one of the impossible dreams?
I mean, you save a really, really easy question for the last one, don't you, really?
Yeah, one trait is pretty tricky.
I don't think I have any. I think determination.
Determination.
And decency. I think be good. Treat people as you want to be treated. I think that's the way. And focus as well, and knowing what you want, you know, even if you don't know what you want when you start, because I didn't know I was going to end up doing this kind of stuff. Just improvise, but be focused, you know, and do the best job you possibly can at any given stage, and then don't worry when you're screwed up completely.
Yeah,
that's basically my career. Make it up as you go along, very enthusiastically.
But what else, you know, how else should you do anything? Because otherwise, if you're always looking to do something that you can't do, or always looking for the next thing that you haven't got to yet, it's great to have ambition, but also do the best job you possibly can, because the worst thing you want to be doing is if you get a job that you don't want, to then be looking over the person that you're working for's shoulder for the next thing. You just fully commit to everything that you do, even when you don't want to be doing it. You know, I think that's do the best job you possibly can at any given opportunity. Is that a trait?
Yeah, that's a trait. I think I always wanted to be better or different in some way. Not physically.
Because you're perfect.
I don't know. I think I always wanted to have the best idea in the room. So if somebody, whenever you're in groups brainstorming, always wanted to just fire them out and try and make sure my idea was the best. I think I'm quite a shy person, and I'd be annoyed that the loudest person wasn't the best one.
Oh yeah, that's killer.
That's a killer. No, the people, lots of outspoken, confident people, and I'd just be milling, sitting on my ideas. But people will listen to you, so I'd always send my ideas afterwards, quietly, and then say, why didn't you say that out loud? And I think there is a real thing about confidence. And you can get through there with just having the best ideas, I think. So, yeah, it is believing in yourself. You have to believe in yourself. And I don't think belief is my best trait. So, you know, go back to being nice. Caring for people, I think, does matter.
Obviously, there's a lot of ruthlessness and determination, whatever. And it's not like a race because there is more than one winner, I think. I think if, you know, you have a decent career and you do good by people, then that's a win, you know. Because actually, if you're out to get your job at all costs, then, you know, there will be a cost at some point to you and the people around you, you know. It's a really hard job. It's a really hard industry. I mean, poor us. Everything's hard work. But no, it's true, though, you know. But, and so you've got to make it the best ride you possibly can at any given time, I think. And I think that will pay dividends, not least to yourself, because you can go to bed at night with a reasonably clear conscience.
And he's absolutely right. You always have to enjoy the ride. And boy, have we enjoyed the ride on this first year of Anatomy of an Agency. Thanks to all of you for coming with us on that ride. When you finish watching Taskmaster, please do tune in to year two. For now, I'm off to get that good night's sleep I deserve. And other than that, from me for now, it is goodbye.